KWVA Eugene, or anyone else. Anarchy Radio, March 9th. Kathleen is here from Portland. Good to see you, Kathleen.
Yay.
All right.
That's your roll car. Come on, come on.
You're setting up the sound effects. Now I'm not getting anything in these headphones.
Oh.
I was.
Well, I can hear you just fine.
Well, that's good. Get the microphone. Hello, hello.
Nothing's happening.
I don't think so.
You don't hear?
No. I'm not
that?
Sure.
How about that?
Testing, testing. Oh, well. All right. Well, let's just kick off a few things. And we got a lot to talk about, and it is 541-346-0645. Going to see if we're keeping up the big tide, the big momentum of phone calls in the last month. What are we doing? Is it everything okay? Okay. Carl looked worried. I thought I'd ask him what's up. This is interesting. You know, I'm always talking about shootings. Thanks. Anyway, it's a theme. You know, it's a topic here on the old broadcast. I thought this was interesting from the Medford Police Department, Southern Oregon. Here, fellow was laid off. I don't know if it was a man or a woman. He worked for the Oregon State Department of Transportation. Well, this fellow, it is a man, purchased three guns after his dismissal, and some of his former colleagues described him as very disgruntled. And anyway, the police grabbed him up, took him to a mental hospital for evaluation. There was no crime. He hadn't done anything. So it kind of makes you wonder. The police can come into your place, come into your house, arrest you, commit you to a mental facility, and confiscate your legally acquired property, such as guns. I don't know if it's handguns or whatever it was, but on a hunch that he might shoot somebody. I mean, this kind of speaks to how often this happens, I guess, for one thing, but that's kind of police state thing, isn't it, where a guy didn't do anything. He got laid off.
That's crazy. And then the big show, big talk all last week was the people who go to Starbucks with their guns. Did you hear about that? Yeah.
Carry with visible,
right,
a non-concealed
right.
weapon. Yeah, you can strap it on and do it. You can
and go to places. Starbucks, but this guy,
he can't go nowhere. Oh, yeah, it's weird.
How does it work, you know?
Yeah, and of course there'll be people saying, well, that's a safety measure. Good for them. They were on it and everything, but, you know, at least. Anyway.
It raises the questions. Who has the right to bear arms?
Yeah, right, and who can just bust you for
thinking about
it. For thinking about it, or maybe they don't even know if he was thinking about it, you know? Who isn't disgruntled when they get sacked, I suppose? You know, I mean, does that mean you're going to shoot somebody? Well, this isn't really related, but I don't know, distantly related possibly. The alarming string of cases involving radicalized American Muslims, that is, Americans, American citizens. A New Jersey man, Sharif Mobley, was arrested last week in Yemen. So, you know, and I guess what got the most attention is a woman named Colleen LaRose, who took the name Jihad Jane. Remember that?
Right.
Green eyes, blonde, you know, doesn't fit any racial profile.
Right.
But Al-Qaeda, supposedly. So, anyway, they've got to worry when, you know, it's when this is hatched here. Anyway, I don't know. It's another strange thing.
Another strange, and I mean, I would say worrisome. Okay, there's
Why does that happen? Why do?
There is a focus. There is a new focus on American Muslims with supposed ties to Al Qaeda, and you know, very spectacular stories. This I heard that Jihad Jane, you know, blonde haired, green eyes.
Well,
watch
she
out.
Picked the name though. I mean, it sounds like something the cops would do. You know, a kind of a dopey name, but
yeah, I didn't anyway. Get.
But
she hasn't, didn't see that. But
it,
she
there
yeah.
was no. Well, anyway, yeah. What this amounts to. But if it's happening. And another thing, just before we get into, I want to talk about the Anarchy Weekend in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Anarchist Book Fair, and the on Saturday, the 13th, and then on Sunday, the Bastard Conference in Berkeley. And I know you got a lot to talk about in terms of art, for example.
And there go the phones.
Another severe storm in the Northeast, a dozen dead, the whole power grid, not the whole power grid, but hundreds of thousands of people with no power. This really points in the direction of severe weather. Not only points in the direction, but it is severe weather. Nobody there.
Nobody there, but the caller posed a question. If Jihad Jane, a tribute to Jane Fonda.
Oh, Hanoi Jane. Was it
Hanoi Jane?
It sounds...
I think that's it.
And what was the question?
That was a statement.
A statement, okay. All right. Well, should I say something about the weekend, or should we talk about
something else
for a while? Okay. And if anybody wants to check in about that, please do. 541-346-0645. If you were down there, what your impressions, some impressions or questions or whatever... I haven't been there in 3 years. The last time we were there was 2007, I think, when we were both there.
I think that's right.
And the book fair seemed like about the same attendance, though they have a lot more speakers and workshops, which is interesting. They're going strong with that. And I gave a talk on Saturday morning at 11:30. It could have been a little worse timing-wise, but and people start showing up after noon. But there was a good turnout. I was real pleased with that and grateful for the invitation. And the Bastard Conference, just to jump to that for a second, I guess the high point, certainly the emotional high point, were Greeks. And in the program, it just says Greeks with a big exclamation point. A group that is called Void. It's not. I don't think it's a group. I think it was just the name of their traveling thing. They were very recently in Tucson and Phoenix. And I gave just a very energizing account of how things are done there, how they are on the attack, how people are encouraged to join in, how they do these assemblies, and how everyone can speak, and that they respect the differences, and it just, it was awesome, and they were just brimming with energy. They were just, you just got a great sense of things. Plus, they were speaking on an edge of the stage in this auditorium on campus, on the UC Berkeley campus, where the conference is held every year. And on the big screen were these images flashing of cops on fire and banks on fire and you know, people storming whatever it might have been, and now how that's growing because of the crackdown, the austerity program that the center-left government is starting to impose or trying to impose. And that was just a marvelous thing Sunday afternoon to hear from. I wish I had jotted down her name and his name, but I can't think of them offhand, but it was marvelous. And whoever, there were workshops following that to round out the afternoon, but I thought, how are they gonna follow that? How are they gonna keep people's interest after such a fiery and informative and stimulating hour and a half that they gave us?
And that was at the book fair.
No, it's at the
that was at
conference.
The conference. Okay.
Yeah, there were things at both. So it's kind of now they're kind of a mix in terms of what they're offering over there at the book fair. And I might as well get to this right now and get it over with. It was kind of strange that if you saw any of the back and forth on the anarchist websites, the chat boards, something like 200 posts about a certain incident that happened Saturday afternoon. Some of us were at the book fair Saturday afternoon, then we went over to Berkeley for the Bastard Conference on Sunday, although the book fair was on both days. Well, Lier Keith gave a talk Saturday afternoon. She wrote The Vegetarian Myth. A former vegan, she feels that the vegan or vegetarian diet in itself is not a great big engine for change, that we have to look at the whole industrial thing, we have to look at civilization. That's the real depth of the problem. And you can have whatever diet you like, that's fine, but it's not going to really swing it. Anyway, some very militant straight-edge vegans evidently pied her. I ran up, and three of them, and it was a shaving cream pie, supposedly with cayenne pepper in it, although I don't know if that was disputed or not. I mean, that was perhaps disputed. Anyway, two things about that, which actually Ward Churchill brought out, which I thought his talk did not totally center on this by any means, but he said, kind of interesting that in our own milieu, cayenne pepper is used, if it was used, and that's kind of the cops' weapon, pepper spray. And she called the cops, which is kind of not our thing. It's not an anarchist thing, although I don't know if she's claimed to be an anarchist, but when you just automatically call the cops. So some of this 200 posts was all about that. Well, damn right she should have called the cops, said a few. And others pointed to the fact that she's said she's not an anarchist, but she was attacked and how heinous that was. And whether being pied is a big attack, and I don't know, it's more meant to, you know, bring attention. It's not, I don't know if it's such a big physical attack. Although if it was cayenne pepper, then it kind of ups the ante. There was a photo of her after, when she was talking to the police. When the police came, then she agreed with the organizers, well, we don't need cops here. Although she filed a police report. But anyway, there was a picture of her and her eyes weren't red, so maybe, I don't know. But anyway, big whoop about that. Like, that was the whole meaning of the whole book fair, is this one incident that everybody went crazy over one way or the other.
And that's where the 200 posts come in.
Yes.
Everybody talking about that.
You know, a million anonymous posts over, you know, you're nuts, no, you're a creep, no, you're a misogynist.
Yeah, there's red pepper in there. No, there's not. No, you know, that
not.
Kind of,
you know,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's
well, and I mean, even, does she call herself an anarchist or not call herself an anarchist? It's like, It's the Anarchist Book Fair. Who, attending that, supports? I mean, how could you anybody be calling the cops? You know, what? Where are you coming from? What? You know, who? It makes no sense. Regardless, if she's there speaking, that's the forum. This is about anarchists, anarchy. Mm-hmm. Calling the cops? You know, how does this work?
Even if she wasn't, yeah, I totally agree with you, Kath, and that's just kind of not done. And the organizers were very quick to say, you're secure here, we will guarantee your safety, we'll take you wherever you want to go, we'll, you know, you're not in danger. They tried to comfort her, you know, and I guess she didn't file charges. She filed some type of report. I don't know exactly, but that was dismaying. The people that said, such as Urban Scout, he said, and again, apropos that context of an anarchist book fair, what else could you do? What? There's no other alternative. Really? I mean, that's a crazy thing to say. Aren't we all about working on that alternative as a community so we don't need the cops?
Right. How can you even have a convocation where you call yourselves anarchists, where your problem-solving approach is so mainstream, call the cops? You know, I mean, that's insane. I'd like to see those posts. You know, how could anybody support that? That makes no sense. I mean, the organizers, every single person involved all the way down the line, calling the cops is not how you solve. You know, I mean, that's
really
just the antithesis of anything.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she was upset, but if that's really, that's sad, you know, that it went that way. Yeah.
Right, but I mean, go back to direct action. You know, if I'm speaking, I mean, if we're in here, somebody comes in and pies us.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? You get your friends. You do direct action. You know, mm-hmm. There's like, deal with the thing. You don't bring
people
in
public
parties.
Figures. They do attract, and people want to make a point, and you know, nobody was hurt, I don't think. But we got a caller maybe about this.
It's Beth from Kansas.
Beth from Kansas. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you. I just want to mention that I have heard from the organizers themselves that there was so much cayenne that they had to warn people to stand away from the stage and to stand away from the microphone. There was definitely cayenne
okay.
in that pie. This was not just a pie. It was cayenne that was smeared in this woman's eyes.
Well, do you think, does that, to your mind, mean that she should have called the cops or that's the way to handle that?
Well, I just want to be quite clear that uh-huh. this is an assault, that this person was in terrible, excruciating pain. I don't know if you've ever had cayenne in your eyes, but she was in excruciating pain.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was helping her, and nobody tracked the guys. I think one person followed the guys. One person chased them, and nobody caught them. So, I mean, the anarchist response, I suppose, would be to run them down and do some rough justice. But nobody did that. And so, yes, I think at that point that calling the police is quite appropriate.
Well, when people are pied, that's, I mean, you're suggesting it would have been better to go beat them up because of what they did, right?
Well, I suppose that would be one way to handle it. I mean, I suppose if that is the anarchist response, you know, that's one way to handle it, mm-hmm. but nobody in fact did that. So mm-hmm. what else was she supposed to do?
Well, it was all over though, too. I mean, anyway, did you want to say
something? I just think it's important to, you know, kind of big picture to me is there's a public gathering of people who apparently share similar values and ways of looking at the world. And
well, except that then they assault someone.
You know, I mean, I would say if you go back to any periods of turmoil or whatever, there will be, you know, with disagreements and all, people don't always talk, okay? So there assaults do happen. There are things like how a group deals with airing their opinions, their ideas when there are difference, and if somebody comes in, you have no security there, and so somebody comes in and pies them with extraordinary amounts of pepper or something. To me, I haven't read the posts, okay, but to me, from the starting point, you say, this is a group of people who publicly come together to have an anarchist book fair. So there should be some minimal level of agreement shared by the people that the state is not my friend, the cops are not my friend. And that's
and
what to me is...
And what if the people around you turn out not to be your friend? What if the people around you start assaulting you?
I mean, it's a sad comment then on the level, I mean, for myself personally, where I go, my personal responsibility of knowing who I'm talking to, what I'm talking about. You know, there's a certain amount of how we present ourselves and what we discuss and who we work with kind of thing that... The cops are not, I mean, bottom line, I know the cops are not my friend.
Okay, you know, I actually don't think this is something that I want to be discussing. I just wanted to be very, very clear for you and all your listeners. There was a lot of cayenne smeared into that woman's eyes. That's really the point that I wanted to make. And in her ear. And she was assaulted roughly. And this is someone who has fragile health, and she has got a degenerative disc disease, and she's in a lot of pain all the time, most of her life.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to make that quite clear. And the police thing, I back away from. You know, you debate that amongst yourselves. I am not an anarchist. But I do want to say that was a violent assault.
Well, thanks for calling, Beth.
Thank you.
Take care. We might get some more calls on that.
Well, I think it's worthwhile. Yep. You know, I appreciate Beth calling, and I think it's worthwhile that it, you know, it be aired. I mean,
yeah.
To me, degenerative you know, whatever you want to throw into it, it's like, well, wait, let's back away. Let's start. What are we talking about? We're talking about a gathering, and people do not all agree. This, you know, what is anarchy? We're talking about Adbusters. Chris Hedges talks about, well, you know, the anarchists just don't understand violence or something. There's going to be disagreements. And sometimes disagreements do get, you know, people don't hold to the same levels or whatever. But who you call on for help, who's going to help you out, who's on your side, to me, that's kind of the bottom line. Don't be confused. If the cops are your friend, then, hey, don't come around me. You know, I mean, it's just they're not your friends. If you don't understand that, then you don't understand anarchy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's and maybe this will be good. This I don't mean the incident was good. I mean the discussion to think about some of these things. I mean, Beth said, have you ever experienced the pepper spray? And I haven't. I've experienced tear gas, but... And the other part of it, though, have you experienced cops? You could ask that. You know, I think a lot
exactly.
of people...
Exactly.
Then
good
they
point.
Find out. You think they're going to help you out, and then you have no control once they show up. And, you know, I think a lot of people, they wish they hadn't brought the cops in there. They think that's going to... They can hand over the responsibility to cops, and it'll be good. And, you know.
And the phone's ringing before we get to that call. I just want to throw in, though, a piece of that about mediation. Okay, so the same thing, to have 200 emails and people all technologically debating back and forth about this, that's another level removed from reality and the problem, how you deal in the real present moment.
Mm-hmm,
with
mm-hmm.
what's happening. So,
yeah, what are you ready? What is your preconception, or what are your working assumptions, like you were implying there? So we have another call?
Yeah, you're in trouble. It's Kevin.
Kevin, no. I hope it isn't Kevin Tucker.
Oh, it is.
Oh, how are you, man?
All right, how you doing?
Good, good.
Yeah, I heard about the Lyra thing. There's a picture of her talking to the cops like 20 minutes later, and her eyes are clear. It was not... Yeah, and she did a talk later that day. I mean, if there's loads of cayenne in it, and it's smeared in her eyes, she's hit with a pie. It was a pie. It's not an assault. And it's just this whole victimization thing, I just have to say. I mean, even if there was cayenne in there, knowing how her and Derek and Urban Scout are, they play this victimization card, and they talk about this horizontal hostility. The horizontal hostility thing is just ridiculous. These people were vertically climbing. She's not an anarchist. She was speaking at an event that was an anarchist event. And, you know, you've got to expect these kinds of things are going to happen when they've completely isolated themselves from any kind of debate. They've taken out all accountability on Lear's thing. If you write an email she doesn't like, she's just kind of trashy. And she's not a really good thinker. Her book has been disputed a number of times, not just by vegan arguments, just bad writing, bad research, and apparently even some plagiarism. You know, if you cut yourself off from communication, if you cut yourself off from debate, why is this any different than any of the politicians or any of the CEOs or anybody else that's been pied or any of the, you know, other anarchists? There's hijinks all the time. People are talking about this like they just walked up in the face and punched her. It's a pie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, you know.
Well, I saw her right afterwards talking to the cops when they apparently agreed for the cops to leave, and the cops weren't even interested in staying. I mean, they didn't quite even understand what was going on. I think they really didn't quite get it and didn't want to go there, I guess, which is nice for a change, I guess. But
yeah.
And then
well,
I saw that same photo.
What is the cop going to say? Oh, my God, you were pied.
And if she's standing there, I saw that photo, too. And fortunately, I would say, her eyes weren't red. You know, she was
really
standing there, and then I saw the close-up. I wasn't very close to the, you know, Joey and the other organizers and her talking with the cops to send them on their way, but I didn't see any redness, and like you said, she carried on. You know, and with her condition, she carried on. It wasn't some... I don't know if you'd say that's a big violent assault, like you just put it. I mean, I wouldn't like to get pied. It's humiliating and, you know, upsetting, and I'm sure it is, you know, but...
But I would say, I mean, I think there's a certain amount of worthwhile in going there than saying, okay, say everything she says is true. Say it's, you know, hey, they didn't show up. It was violent. It was terrible, you know. They assaulted her. Well, so what does one do in that situation? How do we go to conferences or to situations where violence might occur? You know, how do you go? What do you do with that?
I spoke in Montreal when people were talking about killing him.
Right. So what does a real person do? You go crying to the cops, crying to the people. I'm such a victim. Oh, my God, it went in my eyes and my ear. You know, I mean, come on, give me a break. People in hot situations or whatever, people will show up with guns. Don't be stupid. You know, don't be stupid. You got to be prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I mean, I heard that the other talk she gave that weekend and that day, she had bodyguards. She wouldn't leave until anybody else left the building. I mean, this, you know, this whole victimization thing is a part of, you know, that spiel that with Derek and everything. And I mean, even Derek, he could do things to help his Crohn's, but he wants it to be there. He doesn't do anything to change his diet. Ironically, having stomach surgery a couple months after having Lear's book come out where it said, you know, this book's changed or saved my life. And it's like, you were never vegan, you were never vegetarian, and you have a food-related illness that you're not doing anything about. Why wouldn't you do anything about that? Why wouldn't you work to help besides having all these surgeries and having all this other stuff? And I mean, it's a serious issue, I know that, but there's things you can do to help it. But playing that card, like, that changes things, like, that gives your critique more credence. It's just a selling point. It's a bullet point. It's like, oh, you don't think civilization's done anything to me? Argue with this. I had cancer. I have this. I have that. And it's just all sales pitches. And, you know, when you look at this, when you look at Lear's response about hating anarchists and everything like that, and being in an anarchist book fair, having a crappy book put out by an anarchist publisher after it being peddled for years with no success until Derek finally gave her a kick me down, the capitalists. I mean, they're making money, they're making these arguments, they're making these sales, and it's just like selling things. They're selling ideas, and it's just dishonest. I mean,
it's worse than dishonest. I think it trivializes everything. I mean, you got Chile rattling off the earth, L.A. shaking down on an earthquake here and there. You got Greece up in Molotov's banks crashing. You know, I mean, there's... And in the United States of America, we have hot pepper and shaving cream pies. Give me a break, you know? Give me a break.
Much agreed.
Thanks for calling, Kevin. You got something else you want to go into there?
No, just while we're talking about sales and everything, your book is out. I guess the second thing on Black and Green Press.
Can't wait for yours.
With your Black and Green page and everything too.
Is it really just a week or so off your book?
Oh no. Mine. I'm hoping it'll be out by the New York Anarchist Book.
Oh, okay. Next month.
Hopefully a week away from the press, no more.
Wow, excellent. Can't wait. Be super important. Thanks for calling, Kevin.
No problem.
Okay. I just wanted to say one more thing about the book fair in the context of the book fair thing. Oh, should we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's do that.
Just a quick music break. Editorial collage made up of the voices of guests, callers, and its host, John Zerzan. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KWBA Eugene or anyone else. Well, speaking of the book fair and actually the background in terms of very recent broadcasts of Anarchy Radio, I've been impressed and focusing on, for one thing, the indigenous anarchist connections and the development of that connection as I've been understanding it in Arizona. There were a number of some of the great Arizona people there from Phoenix and Tucson. And in terms of this discussion about Black Bloc, including the various condemnations of it, and I thought, especially when the Black Bloc right now is or has been in the last 2 months in Arizona and up in Vancouver, to say it again, having that connection, the indigenous connection. Anyway, on Saturday, when I did my talk, the front page of the Chronicle, just coincidentally, speaking of Native presence, the fact that the Native folks are still around, I was thinking about this earlier, the Ohlone, who were hunting, gathering, fishing people who lived there for so long before European contact and the European invasion and conquest and the whole assault on their all their lifeways. Ohlone's called Vallejo's Park Plan Desecration, the last undeveloped piece of San Francisco Bay, according to this article, is up by the Carquinez Straits, the big bridge that goes across to Vallejo, and then you're on the north side of the bay, if you know that part of San Francisco Bay where the North Bay starts, the north part of San Francisco Bay. There's a little piece of land there. It's the site of a 3,500-year-old Ohlone village and burial site, one of the oldest, actually, of the Ohlone sites in all of the Bay Area. Well, they want to put in cement walks, toilets, parking lots on this last bit of land, and there are Ohlone individuals there who are, of course, totally opposed to that. Anyway, I just thought, this is a reminder, a sad reminder, that these folks still are here, but we got to domesticate every last piece of the Bay Area. I hope that doesn't happen. We got a call?
From Indiana.
Caller from Indiana?
Hi. My name's Caleb, and I'm calling because, I used to be an anarchist, and I read a lot of primitivism stuff, including your stuff, and it kind of got me into the primitivist movement. But I recently read an article called Anarchism versus Primitivism. I don't know, are you aware of the article?
It kind of rings a bell. There are a few like that. Who wrote that? Do you know offhand?
It's by Brian Oliver Shepherd.
Oh, yes. It's been around a few years. I think it's a booklet, available as a booklet.
It's a booklet.
Mm-hmm.
It attacks you quite a bit in it, and I just wanted to ask you a couple questions about what it had to say.
Sure.
My first one was that it accuses you of having like a cult-like following, and then it kind of goes on to say that the mass media in the United States gives you lots of attention because they want to discredit the anarchist movement, and I was wondering what you thought about that.
Well, I've longed for a cult-like following, but I've never really had one. It's too bad there. Well, you know, it's discrediting depending on how you look at that. If you look at it as a serious questioning and that the anarcho-primitivist thing is substantive and serious, then it isn't embarrassing. I mean, I certainly don't find it embarrassing, or I'd do something else. You know, I'd pursue something else, but that's where I'm at right now. It's interesting that there are some other ones quite similar, if I recall, and you know, you could say, well, why are these people on the left so threatened? I think they should be threatened because, I mean, we're kind of out to replace that. We're trying to go beyond that and come to grips with things that it isn't just capitalism. It's deeper than that. And, you know, we're trying to explore that. And, I mean, I think it can be good. I'm not opposed to that in any way because I think it's good to clarify things. Okay, you don't see it that way. Let's see what you got. Maybe you can up the ante, you know, so we can improve the ideas and, you know, try to proceed and learn from criticism. It hasn't been very friendly, and I'm
the article's very scathing.
Yeah, as I recall, and we've been scathing back. You know, I'm not saying we're all so sweet and everything about everything, but well, you said you put it in the past tense. You're not much into the primitivist thinking these days.
Oh no, no, I still am very much in the primitivist thinking.
Oh.
I used to be like an anarchist. Now I kind of identify more with the primitivist thought.
Ah, excellent.
So, but
could be a start to your
the second
like
question
following.
I wanted to ask you had to do with the article kind of mentions a tentative debate between you and Michael Albert, and kind of says that, like, you know, it didn't actually end up happening, and it kind of accused you of calling it off. But I just kind of wanted to know what the circumstances were around that.
Well, briefly, and actually, I don't mean to pun on this, but there was an exchange. Michael Albert's original sort of attack on the primitivist thing was quite long, and I felt, and I probably still feel, that it didn't require a real long response. You could cut to the chase and get to the heart of the thing. I'm sure some people disagree. It should have been a longer, more extensive deal, but maybe that's what... If he was saying that, that's probably what he meant, that it wasn't a very long response. Because
okay,
there it
yeah,
is.
That makes sense.
You know, I mean, it's just a difference. You know, I don't think this guy Oliver Shepard is convinced, you know, and nor am I convinced by his attack. I mean, I haven't felt that it was necessary to drop what we're trying to explore because of what points he made. I mean, we just disagree. You know, I mean, Michael Albert, Pericon, you know, that's what you're talking about, right? The participatory economics thing. He wants modernity, mass production, industrial life. He wants all that. He wants to figure out how to self-manage a mass production and mass consumption. We'd really like mass production and mass consumption and mass society to go away. I mean, two very different projects. I mean, you know, if you want to run. If you want to run this kind of industrial civilization, that's you know, that's one approach. But why do you want to keep doing that?
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, but it's almost like they're just, you know, it's just you're just on like two different levels, basically.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. But hashing it out is good. It can be good, you know, if you know, trying to be serious about it and not just, you know, go on to personal attacks or something. You can at least show, well, here are two different points of view. What do you think? You know, what is your point of view?
Yeah. All right, well, that's really all I had to ask. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you, Caleb. Take care.
Hey, bye.
Bye-bye. We don't have much time. I was going to get to action reports, but I'd rather hear if you want to talk about some...
go a little bit on, just up in Portland, really looking around in the art world at different things I've come across. This past weekend, the Portland Art Museum had a sound artist, Bob Ostertag, speaking. He's a musician who's been practicing since the 70s and started messing around with electronics and electronic music. And he gave a presentation to a very small audience at the Portland Art Museum, but some of his choice quotes was really he'd come with his experience in messing around with the music and electronics to really kind of deep questions about relationship of man to the machine in the present era, and just raise some of those, a little bit of discussion, and I ended up picking up his book, Creative Life, at the bookstore there, and just goes into a bit what I think in the art world you're seeing a bit more of a questioning, at least in Portland, of postmodern. The Adbusters this month talks about altermodern and us kind of moving into a state post-postmodernism where it's the disaster is here and the dreams of modernism are, you know, beyond disproved, and it's the repeated catastrophes and disasters that we're seeing that you're starting to see artists responding to in some way. So that there's a show up there, the Biennial's going on right now, and even a group from Springfield, Your Ditch Projects, has a show up there. I haven't seen it, and you know, I get torn kind of between there is on the to a certain extent there's can be a very superficial, trendy kind of approach to man in nature, and some of one of the artists I saw actually unrelated to the Biennial, but current artist Matthew Statler, who kind of puts on a case for the suburbs being enjoyable as these borderline areas, and kind of makes an art career out of, you know, fantasies about the suburb that overlook the end of nature or the disaster of nature. But there is a whole conversation, I think, going on that...
Were you saying that Ostertag was referring in, about a catastrophe that's coming in some sense?
Yeah, he one of his quotes I got from his talk was kind of, he sees confrontational relations of machines and musicians, and states he says we're on the verge of catastrophe, machines and bodies, and how will they coexist? And I think in a previous show, maybe a year ago, I talked about some artists and prosthetics and the healthcare field, the same kind of thing, machines and the human bodies. We got a phone call.
It's connected to that, it sounds like.
Yeah, local caller, Scott.
Scott. Hi, Scott.
How's it going?
Good, good.
Hey, just wanted to tell you that we're showing another one of our series, Leaders Who Need Them, movies, and it's at Cosmic Pizza next Tuesday, same time, unfortunately, as your show. This time it's on Cuba.
Oh, and here in Eugene.
Out of the peak oil situation, but I think in spite of the government, not because of it, you know.
Okay.
Mass starvation and stuff, but there's a couple other things I wanted to talk about. So I was reading in the Weekly. I didn't even know this, but I found out that how much it takes to run internet sites like Facebook and Google and all this. Did you read this? This is mind-blowing.
No.
They said that it takes enough electricity to power 82,000 homes. And for these jobs that they're giving away near Prineville, it's $1 million a job.
It's pretty hidden, isn't it? We don't really think of energy costs or inputs. These big servers buildings that are kind of usually, you wouldn't know what's in there. They don't have big signs saying, this is sucking all the energy, so you can think that it's all clean. And
yeah, but all these environmentalists and anarchists and everybody are just, you know, using it. I just only got on the internet like, you know, a year and a half ago. But all these other people have been doing it for years and years, and I don't think people realize how energy intensive it is. I didn't realize until I read this.
Yeah.
And then the no one more government giveaway, but this, God, it's mind blowing.
Good point. Yeah, it's worth bringing up.
And then another thing, have you got your census form?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, because I got mine in the mail the other day, and they're saying it's pretty much mandatory, and they have some that you have to answer this by law, you know. And I don't know what they do, because I haven't done it before. Like, before, I boycotted the idea, you know, the last two times they did it, and nothing happened to me, you know.
I think it's like jury, you know. I know people that just throw away their jury summons, you know, even if you refuse a registered letter and they don't send them registered, how are they going to prove you never saw it? You just say, I don't know what you're talking about. I never saw that. They're, you know, in other words, they want you to think, they want us to think that you could be prosecuted for not giving them information, but I don't think so.
Well, the mind-blowing thing is lots of people don't pay their taxes because of the military, and they don't get prosecuted. You know, they just say, I'm not doing it because of this. I mean, they don't have really one prosecution, so there's lots of things you can get away with.
Sure, sure. And, of course, we're only making these points for informational or entertainment purposes.
For recreational use.
Recreational use. We're not advocating people don't do what the government tells us. Actually not. anyway.
Yeah, check this thing out. It's really wild. I think it's just like even every time this thing comes around, it's, you know, more, they want more information on you.
Exactly. Thanks for calling, Scott.
Okay, have a good night.
Take care. You know, I'd like to, we don't have a lot of time. Do you want to continue
take
there?
Go ahead.
Well, this just, you know, this thing about the Black Bloc and the different aspects of that, the different levels of that, and I was even suggesting that, you know, to the point that the argument, the assertion that Black Bloc stuff is ruining the movement, it's going to prevent a mass movement, it's turning off the workers, all that, I just think that's so preposterous. Actually, when the Greeks were speaking 2 days ago there in Berkeley, somebody was saying, well, yeah, but this is America, and you can't do nothing here. And somebody else said, do you know, I wonder how many people are delighted when some investment banker jumps out the window or some cop gets plugged. I mean, they're not all so conditioned or conformist than we might think. I mean, and I think that way sometimes too. But, you know, in other words, let's go for it and find out. You know, it's you people respect something that's for real. I think a lot of people do. What they probably don't respect is the, quote, organizing, where you're not showing what you're really after, what you're really all about. You're trying to gull them into something, and that isn't straight up. You know, that's not transparent. At least the people out there are putting themselves on the line, and the transparency part is always to the good, I think. Anyway, maybe one more last thing, because I found this kind of touching, and there's so much we're not going to get to tonight, but this is from an elder up in the Vancouver, B.C. area called Stella August, and I just thought it was worth sharing. She says, our young people who have broken the windows at these big stores with the Olympic costumes or whatever you want to call it, they're not bad. They're angry because of the rich people bringing the Olympics into our country when it wasn't needed here. These kids were not bad. They were angry because of what they bring to our country, big-time poverty. And I'm angry. I'm very angry at these people that organized the Olympics to come to Canada, our beautiful country, our stolen land, our stolen native land. They had to bring the Olympics here, and we're still fighting for our land, and we're going to continue to fight until we get some answers. So remember those kids that broke the windows that were protesting. They're not bad. They're our people. They're our children. We are the mothers, we are the grandmothers, we are the aunts, we are the sisters, we are the caregivers. Those kids were not bad when they broke the windows. They were protesting because of what's happening to our country and our city, all my relations. Pretty awesome. There's a comment.
There's
pick
a
it up
comment.
With her.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Well, that when I was talking about some of the shows in Portland at the Art Museum right now, there's a, I think, a pretty good show by, it's contemporary art, and it's called Disquiet or Disquietude. It's basically reflecting on the art in the year since the 2000s that reflects Age of Anxiety and the disquiet that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the logo is these stickers on the glass that is like faux fracturing of the glass.
Oh.
And it's just like kind of, you know, that's creep. Creepy,
wow.
You know.
Yeah,
it's like,
geez.
You know, let's really break the window, let's, you know.
Yeah, do the real thing. Somebody there?
We got a little more local news.
Okay.
Hey, John, it's Sherry.
Sherry, you know, I was just about to say what's going on Thursday, but please do it.
I wasn't aware if you'd seen the email, but would love it if lots of people came out. It is free. And I don't have the information right in front of me, and if I walk back in there, I'll be
Thursday at 7 over here in Eugene, 265 West 8th, which is right east of the Wow Hall, right in downtown Eugene.
Right,
it's the first
next door to the Wow Hall, exactly. Thank you.
The first installment, I think this is going to be really good. From the Civil Liberties Defense Center, it's called something about torture. What is it? Do you remember?
Legacy of Torture?
Yes. I think that's right. Legacy of Torture, the assaults on the Black Liberation Movement.
Right.
So they're kicking off their film series. Every third Thursday, there'll be a film, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah,
more than one, maybe. There might be some short ones put in with some long ones.
Good. Okay.
So we'd love to have people come out. We're going to have popcorn. It's going to be free, and it's
all right.
Be very empowering.
Good. Hey, between the two of us, Sherry, we got the news. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks. Sorry to interrupt that.
No, please. I'm glad you did. So I was
so
hoping
much.
Not to forget it, but I might have forgotten it, so thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You know, another native thing, if I could just stick this in here, from the Ho Reservation, HOH, in Washington. This is from the Seattle Times yesterday. They're being flooded out. Gee, it could have something to do with global warming. They have they have fewer than 300 members, and they only have a square mile. Well, they had a square mile when they were evidently herded onto this land. Now it's less than that because they're getting flooded out more and more. The river floods every winter, and they already live in one of the rainiest parts of the lower 48, Olympic Peninsula kind of thing. Mary Lightka, a tribal elder, says it's not the river. It's because of the things we human beings have done that have changed it. So they're desperately trying to find a way to survive as it floods, that their land floods more often and more violently. They're now reduced to try to find some other land to live on. There's a lot of stuff like that. The last Wolverine, University of Michigan Wolverine football team. Now there are no more Wolverines. The last wild Wolverine, it was announced by state officials in Michigan, is dead. But go ahead. I completely interrupted there. Sorry.
No, you didn't. I was dumbfounded.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Should I give some more dumbfounding stuff before we go off?
Yeah,
okay.
I would say the time, is running out.
It is, and... Well, China is going to try to keep up their 10% growth rate, which is unbelievable, annual growth rate, and they're going to buy 50% more heavy equipment from the Japanese as they report more and more lead poisoning, etc. And the idea, this is sad. We're not going to get the techno answer here for what's happening with the oceans in terms of climate change. There was an idea to dump thousands and thousands, maybe millions, I don't know, it doesn't say, tons of iron into the oceans because it would promote blooms of a certain plankton that would soak up the carbon dioxide, would overcome the acidification. Isn't that madness? But, gee, they noticed it also produces a harmful neurotoxin. So, maybe we shouldn't, kill everybody with neurotoxins. But I know there's a technological answer. Well, we're about done. Carl, you strict taskmaster. Thanks, Captain.
Hey,
thanks for the call.
All right, next month we'll see ya.
Yeah. I'll let you see. I'll let you take.